Enough of the kids.
Oh, those were the days, my friend. I'll never forget them.
Boys side, today we are going to conclude Chumash Vayikra, kind of. This is the final Parsha Perspectives class on the third book of the Torah for this year. And we began with offerings, and we will conclude with offerings. I'm going to direct your attention to the end of the Sefer and the conclusion of the Parsha, kind of. We'll start off in the sixth reading, chapter 27, verse 26. And we are going to look at the last two korbanot. This is, of course, Torah Kohanim, the third book of the Torah, called the world by the world Leviticus. Our sages refer to it as the teachings of the Kohanim, or Beit HaMikdash-related activities. And we begin, of course, with the discussion of korbanot. And korbanot play a prominent role and feature throughout the entirety of this book. The last two korbanot that are discussed come at the end of the parsha and at the end of the sefer. First, we talk about firstborns. Pasuk Chavav, Ach Bechor Asher Yevukar, the firstborn who is calved, and the firstborn who is born, La Hashem, that has to be for God. Bevehema, from amongst animals, and here we speak about kosher animals. Lo Yaktish Ish Eisei, nobody should consecrate that. Im Shor, Im Se, be it an ox or a sheep, La Hashem Hu, that goes to God. Now, as a rule, holy, making things holy, hallowing things, sanctifying things, what I like to call holifying, even though there's no such word. Why shouldn't there be? I just made the word. A yid should holify things. So, this business of making things holy, as a rule, is it's a big deal. It's something we aspire to do. But this is an exception. The Torah says, but the firstborn, Asher Yevukar, this firstborn, that's La Hashem. So if it's Bebehema, so the animal, Lo Yaktish Eisei, do not sanctify it. Im Shor Im Se. What's going on here? Why not? So first of all, just like a point of interest, it starts off, Ach Bechor Asher Yevukar. Why do you have to say Bechor Asher Yevukar? The firstborn who is firstborn. Why don't you just say the firstborn? So the Malbim has a very interesting notion. He says that you cannot be makdish, you cannot sanctify or consecrate the Bechor after it already calves or makes its way out. However, when it is still in its mother's womb, so at that point, it doesn't have the Kedusha. So in theory, a person could be makdish, a person could sanctify the unborn calf or the unborn sheep. You only cannot sanctify it after the process of birth, because it is the process of birth that brings the Kedusha, that brings the sanctity upon it. That's why it says Bechor Asher Yevukar. Not just the Bechor, not just the firstborn animal, but also it's Asher Yevukar that's actually born. So why shouldn't you sanctify it? Take a look in Rashi. Rashi says, the meaning of don't sanctify it is L'shem Korban Acher. Don't sanctify it, meaning don't try to divert the nature of its holiness. It's been dedicated in a certain way. God dedicated in that certain way. And because that's the case, there's no reason for you to try and switch or move or change the sanctification, the status that it has, Me'es HaKadosh Baruch Hu, from God. Ramban adds, the Bechor is holy before you got your hands on it. Hands off. Just leave. When things are holy by themselves, you take what's holy and run with it. Don't try to always make your mark. You don't have to try to add things and change things and make things if it's holy already. Great. Move on to the next thing. So that's the story of the Bechor. And the Bechor is an animal that's brought in the Beis HaMikdash as an offering. And if it has a mum, if it has a blemish, then it has to be redeemed and the animal that can then be eaten. Now, the Torah goes on to other things. After talking about firstborn animals, it talks about a non-kosher animal, which obviously cannot be a korban. So it talks about redeeming a non-kosher animal. And why and how would that be? So this is in a situation where a person might sanctify a non-kosher animal, not as a korban, but as Rashi explains, for bedek habayis, for the use of the Beis HaMikdash. The Beis HaMikdash had expenses, an enormous compound, right? a big deal to run the Beis HaMikdash. So people would give donations on a regular basis for Beis HaMikdash upkeep. This is called Bedek HaBayis. So if somebody gave an animal to the Beis HaMikdash, you could give cash, you can give valuables, you give an animal. So then we have halachas of how that works and how this has to be redeemed. From there, the Torah speaks about something called cherem. So cherem could be translated in English as segregating, but it's not really what it means. The term cherem, according to the Radak, comes from the terminology of hashchasa, of destruction, of ibud, of a total loss, wiped out. That means cherem. Why are we talking about designating things to the Beis HaMikdash as cherem? Well, the answer is very simple. Because insofar as your jurisdiction is concerned, once you dedicate this to the Beis HaMikdash, your jurisdiction is gone. You have no hold over this. You have nothing to do with it. You have no right to use it in any way, shape, or form. You are merely a custodian at this point who has to pass it on to the Beis HaMikdash because now it belongs to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And this is called Cherem. And sometimes the Cherem goes to the Kohanim and sometimes the Cherem goes to the Beis HaMikdash. There are different halachas about the Cherem and about how it works. And then from there, the Torah goes on to speaking about the concept of Maaser Sheni, the second tithe. Precisely because both the animal, the non-kosher animal, may be redeemed. And because the Cherem has to be designated in a particular way, but there is also a methodology of redemption. So the Torah goes on now to talk about something which does kind of belong to you, which may also be redeemed. Well, it kind of belongs to you. That's the second tithe. So you have your harvest in the land of Israel. That's beautiful. The firstling fruits will be set aside. They will be brought to the Beis HaMikdash and offered in joy as an act of thanksgiving. That's called Bikurim. And after Bikurim comes Terumah. And you harvest everything, you have to set it aside for the Kohen. And after you set it aside for the Kohen, you have to set it aside for the Levi. And after you set it aside for the Levi, you have to set aside a portion of the Levi's also for the Kohen. And then you give Maaser Sheni. Then you give the second tithe. Now the second tithe in the first and second years of the agricultural cycle in Israel are called simply second tithe, Maaser Sheni. On the third year, and on the sixth year, it's Maaser Ani. It's designated and given to the poor. But in the second, first and second, and on the fourth and fifth, it's Maaser Sheni. What do you do with Maaser Sheni? You have to bring it to Yerushalayim. And you have to eat it in a special state of holiness, in a special state of joy, in the holy city of Yerushalayim. And now, what happens if you live quite a distance and you're not going to Yerushalayim anytime soon? And this is before the age of refrigeration. There was no artificial freezing. You're going to come bring rotten fruit and eat it and get sick. Some things can be cured. Grapes become raisins. Figs can be dried. So can dates. That's nice. But not everything can be cured. And even sometimes grain could become rotted. So what do? The answer is you redeem it. You take the cash and you come to Yerushalayim with a full wallet. And so Yerushalayim had this wonderful tourist industry because people were always coming, pilgrims were always coming with wallets full of cash that they had to spend in Yerushalayim and they had to eat it in Yerushalayim. The restaurants were busy, the bakeries were busy, the grocery stores were busy. People didn't care to pay a little more. They had to spend the money. It was money that was burning a hole in your pocket. Obviously, you couldn't have ridiculous charges, but normative charges, so a little bit of a, it was a fancy fruit store. You had a fancy vegetable stall. And people spent the money and they would eat it in the holy city of Yerushalayim. So that's how we end up talking about the concept of the redemption of the second tithe or the pedia to be paida, the Maaser Sheni. And now the Torah returns to a discussion of korbanot again. And this is the final korban that we talk about in the entire book of Vayikra. Chapter 27, verse 32. The chol maaser bokor v'tzoin, any tithe of cattle or sheep, koil asher yaver tachas hashovet, anything that goes under the staff, ha'asidi yihye kodesh la'Hashem. The tenth, that will be sacred unto God. What in heaven is going on over here? What is the business of tithing animals? So the Torah is telling us that just as we're required to tithe every year's produce, so too the rancher who raises animals, be they cattle, sheep, or goats, which are domesticated kosher animals, and there only are three of them, those three types are raised, And then you have to gather all such animals, each species separately, as the Torah's Koinim says. That's why it says, V'chol Meiser, Bokor, V'tzoin, which is to say that the Bokor and the Tzoin, says the Torah's Koinim, have to be Nifrodim, have to be segregated and put aside in individual groupings. That you would have thought that you could take a Meiser for cattle on sheep and sheep on cattle because animals are animals. The Torah says, no, animals are not animals. Sheep are sheep and goats are goats. And oxen are oxen, and therefore everything has to be tithed uniquely. So each one of them goes into a pen, and then you open a small gate, a small opening, just enough to allow the animals to exit in single file. And then as they leave, you mark with red paint the 10th animal. So you count, achas, shtayim, sholish, and you come to number 10, you say, asiri, and asiri comes, he gets dabbed with red paint. And then it's easy to identify. Because after all, they're all mixed together. The animals are no longer separated. Now, how did this used to work? The cat, the small animals we put in the pen, and the mothers would be on the outside. So the mother animals would make noises, bleating noises, mooing noises, and that would make the young would want to go to their parents. So they would be mooing on the outside, or bleating. They would go through the small gate, just enough for one at a time, and the farmer who raised, the rancher who raised the animals, he would count, and Ha'asidi, the 10th one, Asher Yaver, Tachas HaShovet, that goes under the staff, which has got red paint on it, and he's counting with his staff, Yeh Kodesh, he will be holy for Hashem.
What if it's a blemished animal?
Ah, excellent question, Arthur. What if it's a blemished animal? The answer is that you got a problem. It has to be redeemed, and the redemption will take place in a particular way, because you can't bring a blemished animal as a korban. But the point is, Ha'asidi Yiyeh Kodesh. You can't go into your cattle and choose the best or the worst. I can't say, I'm going to choose a blemished animal. Ha, that'll be good. And then I can't bring as a carbon anyway. No, it doesn't work that way. Or say, I am a very high-minded, loyal Jew. I want the nicest animal, the best carbon. Doesn't work that way. This is what they call the luck of the rods. You have to see what comes out. And all you get to do is count. And the 10th one comes, you dab it with the paint, Kodesh, and you declare it to be holy. Now, such an animal has to be brought up into Yerushalayim, and it has to be brought as a korban. Its particular entrees or fats have to be burned on the Mizbeach, similar to the concept of a korban shlamim. It is actually a form of a korban shlamim. However, unlike the regular korban shlamim, you do not have to give the kohanim any part of the meat. Usually a korban shlamim is a peace offering, because everybody's at peace, because everybody got a piece. The Kohen got a piece, the Mizbeach got a piece, the Baalim, the owners got a piece. Not this carbon. This carbon is eaten entirely by you and your guests. So you came to Yerushalayim, and you had money to spend. And along with your money to spend, you also had an animal that had to be brought along with you. And that animal was the Meiser Behema. And people came with the animal, they brought it as a carbon, and they had meat for Yom Tov. So and then they celebrated the Yom Tov.
Once a year, this.
Three times a year. So you don't use these animals before they are going to be, so to speak, misered. You know, you got to miser off the animal. And you don't share the wool. You don't do any of that. And the Torah concludes with the notion of selection. A person might be motivated to select, to try to engineer things. Choose the nice animal, or more often than not, claim to be choosing the nice animal and really putting the nice animal aside and using the animal which you don't really care to lose. Torah says, no. Lo yivaker ben tayiv l'ra. Don't try to make differences, not good or bad. This is from Hashem. Lo yimirenu. Don't try to exchange it. But if you do try to exchange it, you will just make yourself more trouble. Then both animals will be a korban. And that's how we conclude. That's how we conclude. The Gemara in Bechiras on page 60 speaks about this idea of Ha'asidi Yir Kodesh, and it says this. It's a rather circuitous pasuk. V'chol Ma'aseh Bokor V'Tzoin Kor L'Shayaver Tachas HaShavet. All tenth of the cattle of the sheep, everything the will go under the rod. Ha'asidi, the tenth one will be Kodesh. So the Gemara in Bechiras says this comes to teach us two things. Number one. Anytime the 10th one goes under the rod, Yiyeh Kodesh will be holy. And then v'chol ma'aser that the hasidi yirkei desh. So what's the difference between the 10th one and going under the rod? So the Gemara says sometimes you could have a situation where the 10th one went under the rod, but you called the 9th one the 10th, or the 11th one the 10th. Sometimes people miscount. So if you miscounted, then guess what? Then they're both holy. What if you didn't count? What if you're daydreaming and the 10th went by? If the 10th went by, it's holy. So whether you did call it or didn't call it, the 10th is always going to be holy. And that's why the Torah speaks about it in this fashion. So the last two karbanot of the book that's all about karbanot is bechor, the firstborn animal that you have no say in the matter whatsoever, and the 10th, which is entirely circumstantial. So you have to make it happen. And whether it's because of you gathered the animals and the 10th one jumped out, or because you actually called it number 10 and you dabbed it with the red paint, it's all about you making it holy. Big polar difference. Big disparity between the two. One is you have nothing to do with it. Hashem says don't even try to mix in. Ramban says not your thing. This is Hashem. Firstborn animal, automatically holy. The second one, you have to gather the animals together and you create the circumstances through which you'll call holiness onto the 10th one. So the Rebbe says that there's a very important and interesting lesson for us as we conclude the book of Vayikra with this business, with this notion that these are the last two karbanot that are being discussed. So if you take the Buren book and you go to page Tav Chav Gimel, second to the last entry in this book, Simen Chav, the Rebbe sets out here Levayir Es HaKesher to explain the link between Seif Vayikra, between the end of the book of Vayikra, L'tchilase, to the beginning. As you may remember, on Friday morning, in the Maimon we learned, we talked about the concept that's brought down in Sefer Yetzirah in the first chapter, No'ot Tchilasan, V'seifan, V'seifan B'tchilasan, that the beginning is wedged in the end, and the end is wedged in the beginning. Remember we talked about that? You have a line made up of dots. Take the two poles, you put them together, and you get, from a line, you get a circle. So this is the principle in Yiddishkeit. That means there's a line, it's called Sefer Vayikra. It begins here, Vayikra Hashem al Moshe. It concludes over here, Asher Tzivas Hashem al Bnei Yisrael Bahar Sinai. And these two extremes, now you take the whole Vayikra, the whole Chumash Vayikra, right? Imagine you had it like a Megillah. And you take the beginning, you take the end, you put them together, and that creates you a circle. So, obviously we don't have to do this physically or literally, there's no mitzvah of making circles out of chumashim. But proverbially, there's this idea of bringing the end and the beginning together. So we have to now, the Rebbe sets out here to do something which, to the best of my knowledge, was never really done before. Finding a commonality between the beginning of the book and the end of the book. Where's the common link? How do they actually come together to form this circle of care for Hashem? Siyum Sefer Vayikra, the end of the book, Isaac is engaged b'dineim shoshtei korbanos and various other things, but two offerings. And the last two offerings, as I pointed out to you in this morning's class, are the bechor, the firstborn animal, and the ma'aser, the tenth tithe animal. What's the difference between these two korbanot? Ha'hevdol ben shtei ha'korbanot elu, the difference between these two korbanot is kedushas ha'bechor. He, Kedusha Atzmit, the holiness of the Bechor is intrinsic, self-generating. You have nothing to do with that. It's Chola Al HaBechor Mirega Hivolde. When does the Kedusha begin? The moment the animal is born. And we talked about that. Before the animal is born, it's not yet holy. But the moment it's born, that's it. Now we're on. Conversely, so this is Eini Tluya B'Pulas Adam. It has nothing to do with a person's verbiage or activity. You have nothing to do with this. You are merely the recipient. No holifying required. Ve'ilu Kedushas HaMaiser, but the holiness of the tenth animal, Tluya B'Pulas Adam, has everything to do with my activities. It's a whole day activity. Creating a pen and making a small opening and bringing the animals together, separating the cows from the sheep and the goats. It's all about me. I have a lot of work to do. And then I have to count the animals. Some people count sheep to fall asleep. We count sheep to make miser. Right? Sheep are going out. One, two, three. This is an activity. V'lachein magda makasov. That's why the Rebbe suggests the pasuk first talks about the dini habachar, talks about the rules of the firstborn, and only afterwards the rules of the maaser. Why? Because, my dear friends, kach hu haseder b'avedas habayra. That's the order of the way things go in our service to Hashem. It actually follows that trajectory. Tchila, initially, zoicha ha'odom l'koiches shel kedusha. Every one of us merits, really for free, we didn't pay for our life, we didn't work for our life, we have expectation, all kinds of expectations. Who says we were supposed to be born? Who says we were supposed to have a working body? There are many children, Nebuchadnezzar, don't get born. They die before they make it out. There are many people don't get born with a functioning body. There are people of all kinds of deficiencies. You're born with a functioning body, it's a gift from Hashem. And most importantly, the neshama we have is a gift from Hashem. So we're born with this holiness. And these come milmaila, that comes from on high. What kind of korban is that like? That's like the bechor. That's with birth. It's only by utilizing these faculties and wherewithal and ability that then you can begin now to serve Hashem. And service to Hashem, the love, the loyalty, the devotion, the dedication, the commitment, all of that is a choice we make. It's not something that happens by itself. In fact, if it happened by itself, then it really wouldn't be holiness. Because with the exception of the Bechor, holiness is manufactured. Not by your own ideas. You can't use your own principles. It's God's ideas and God's principles. Utilizing the neshama and the gifts that you got, you can't use make somebody else's animal into a korban. You can only sanctify your life, the gifts Hashem gave you. But once you have those gifts, you can use them to create holiness. And that's the Bechor, and that's the Maaser. You're born with something. Now, do something about it. You're born with holiness. Take that holiness and multiply it. It's like you start off with a few bucks in your pocket. Now invest it. Now turn it around. Now they put these people on buses to Ramah, and they give them like $10 of chips. They start you off. But they hope that the $10 that you spend will bring many more dollars out of your wallet. Right? Now, it does happen probably on the rare occasion that somebody actually leaves with the $10 he came with, or maybe even leaves with more money. But most often, the money they get you started with ends up taking a whole lot. That goes goodbye along with a whole lot of other money. Right? Now, of course, the casino is a ridiculous thing because you have no control over that whatsoever, and that's just luck of the draw. Life is not a casino, or at least it shouldn't be. Life is about hard work. And therefore Hashem gives us, He does pay it forward. He gives us actually something to spend. And what's the purpose of life? To return to Hashem exactly as you came? Then what will be the point? That's like a person who makes a huge investment, toils a whole year long, at the end of the year finishes his books, and it's exactly the money he put in. He says, Baruch Hashem, I didn't lose my money this year. So what, are you an idiot? You didn't lose your money? That's what you invested? You worked a whole year just so you shouldn't lose the money? They didn't have to invest. You could have done nothing and you wouldn't lose the money. So what do you invest the money for? So you have a profit. So why Hashem gives us a life to do what with? He gives us some natural holiness to grow it exponentially. That's the purpose of life. And the Rebbe says that's the connection to the beginning of the book too. The beginning of Sefer Vayikra starts over the words, Odom ki yakrev mikem korban lahavaya. A person from amongst you who brings a korban to God, and that korban has to be min habehema, min habokor, or min hatzoin. It can be from cattle, it can be from sheep, it can be from goats. Okay, so takriv is korbanchem. But Lakuta Torah in the Alter Rebbe's magnum opus of Maimorim, Lakuta Torah musberes mashma use haruchnis al shal pasuk zeh. He explains this verse entirely in spiritual terms, and he says like this: Adam ki yakriv mikem. A person, when he draws close, it's from you. He says, what does this mean, this Adam? Adam refers here to Adam ha'elyon. It's the proverbial imagery that Ezekiel saw. It means representation of Hashem. Adam ha'elyon. So this Adam Elyon, ki yakriv mikem, when he draws close, it's from you. In other words, ha'adam mikarev es ha'adam mikem. What does God look for? What does God want to bring close? You. The first thing God seeks is you. Some people are willing to give God all kinds of gifts, but don't bother me, God. I believe in Judaism for everybody else. I'll make my contribution. Please don't ask me to put on tefillin, eat kosher, or keep Shabbat. That's too Jewish for me. But I'll give you a check. I vote for Judaism, but that's about it. I was born to Judaism. I'll die as a Jew. But in between, let me be Canadian. Let me enjoy life. Don't remind me. Don't get in my way too much, God. The Eibishter says, sorry, Babala, that's not what I want. Who does God want? Forget Uncle Sam. God wants you. God wants you. And that's the first thing. Adam ki yakrev, the Eibishter wants to draw close. Mikem, it's from you. And then, after he's got you, then he asks you to bring other things in your tow. Now bring other things along. Then you have a behemoth. You have animals. You have a bokor. You have a tzoin. You have a cow. You have a sheep. Takriv is korbanchem. You, in turn, should bring other things close to Hashem. So the first thing the Eibishter wants is us, you. He wants you. And then he wants you to bring other things to him. Ha'adam mitzidai mikarev es atzmei l'Kadosh Baruch Hu. The person himself has to bring things closer to Hashem. So it comes out that the two korbanot at the end of the parsha, the korban b'chor and the korban meiser, which represent holiness that happens by itself, intrinsically, and the holiness that we have to create and manufacture as a result of our activities, are actually reflected in the first pasuk of Chumash Vayikra, where the Eibishter says to us, hey, Adam ki yakrev mikem, the first thing I want is you. And you don't have to, nobody has to make you holy. You're born holy. You have the neshama. I gave it to you to begin with. Now take that holiness and do something with it. And you have to reach out to the end of the pasuk, which is min ha-behema, min ha-bokeh, min ha-tzoin, takrivos korbanchem. This, my dear friends, is the story of life, and it is the narrative upon which Chumash Vayikra both begins and ends.